You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, the excitement and pageantry of Thursday Night Football comes to Cleveland on October 3rd. Yeah, that's a week from Thursday when the Cleveland Browns take on the Buffalo Bills at 8:25 p.m. at First Energy Stadium. For available tickets, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com. And we are going to bring aboard one of our favorite guys, and he's a regular on this show, Bernie Kosar. And before we do, we want to tell you this segment is brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. Every visit, an entertaining experience. You just grab a seat in that cozy bar room. You can see all the action in the open kitchen. You can sit outside by the fire pit. It's an amazing place. Gourmet burgers, flatbreads, thick steaks, freshest seafood, just something on the menu for everyone, I can attest. Go there a lot. You see Browns folks there galore. Nathan Zagura is there. I mean, it's just the place.
It is good.
And Bernie Kosar go there, too. Hey, Bern.
Hey, were you there when Jason Giambi hit that walk-off home run last night?
Man, how about it? The G-Man.
How do you like that when we were just saying a testament to old guys?
Well, I don't think – maybe Nathan could jump into that conversation. But, Vic, I'm not sure I want to call somebody 42 years old anymore.
I'm going to. Yeah, that's right. I don't – because our age, we're the new 40, aren't we?
Or I'm going to work with you on this one, okay?
Or maybe the old 80. I don't know, something. Hey Bernie, so Brian Hoyer gets named today the starter. No surprise to that. I mean, I think we all could have – pretty well predicted that, and all did pretty well predict that. The surprise would have been if he wouldn't. But I want you to hear this right now, because there's a shout-out to you that Brian Hoyer gave today when he met with the media.
He sent me a message and a text, and that was pretty cool. You know, you look down at your phone and it says, hey, this is Bernie Kosar. I mean, for me, you know, when I used to wear the jersey out in the backyard, to now getting a message from him was pretty cool.
What do you think of that, buddy?
Well, I'm glad he said just about the text. And not about all the talking we did Saturday night about what to do game day. It was a lot of fun for me to just, like, me and you talked off the air. It was a lot of fun just to watch the game. It was almost like the culmination of all the stuff we've talked about in the off season, of what the offense is supposed to be, how it's supposed to look, what you're going to see from the team, and to see the plays, to see the timing of the throws, to see the offense, the way it was worked. And this is not to make references or throw Brandon Whedon under the bus. You know, Brian Hoyer played phenomenal. The team played phenomenal. I think Coach Chudd and some of the calls that he came up with during the game. You know, when the fake punt, the extra point, or the fake field goal, when those things work, you look like the second coming of Einstein. It's just amazing stuff. But it's so hard to pull the trigger on those type of calls. And when they work like that, you know, we obviously needed all of those plays and all of those points. But it's easier said than done to make those kind of calls and to see if we come to fruition like that and get a win when just about everybody had us kind of buried in the in our casket. It was really, really a lot of fun to get that. And, you know, to Brian's comments, it's an honor to hear stuff like that. But it was even more of an honor to just to see some of the things me and him talked about Saturday night, how he was able to transfer him onto the field. I mean, his timing, his way of throwing the ball. We talked a lot about that during the Chicago Bears game in the fourth preseason.
Yeah. What about, just take us as much as you can into that conversation the night before the game, Bernie, some of the points that you made with him, because he obviously values your opinion. What were you able to share?
Well, you know, during the game, and me and for the listeners out there, me and Vic sit next to each other on a plane ride home after the preseason game. So, you know, Vic, as we were talking that night, his sense of timing in the throws, you could see his background. You know, he's been groomed by Chuck Kyle at St. Ignatius. He was in that Michigan State type system. You know, Nick Saban had been through there. Bill Belichick in New England. So I know his background on the attention to discipline and the incredible importance and emphasis that's put on footwork and timing in the passing game. And it just became so clear to me watching him play the whole fourth quarter, or the fourth preseason game, all four quarters, that he's really got it. And the difference in the way he throws, and the main thing was to tell the team, anytime when you travel, for the listeners out there, you know, you spend a lot of time together, that 24 hours before a game as a team, in the team buses, going to the hotel, in the planes, in the lobby, in the kind of the rooms for your meals, mass chapel. Not that anybody should be talking in mass and chapel, but you spend a lot of time talking together. And you got to tell the guys, look, it was a crazy week. Don't worry about this Trent Richardson stuff. Don't worry about the nostalgia, you know, Brian, of people talking about how cool is it to be from Cleveland and you're starting for the Cleveland Browns. The team, the guys, you make them, let them know how important it is, the receivers, that you're going to catch the ball, because it comes out early, it's coming out on time, you're going to come out of your break, your head's going to snap around, and the rock, it's going to be there. And telling those guys how you know, not that you expect, you know you're going to make good plays, you know you're going to make big plays, and let those guys know that they're going to make them too, that you believe in them. And if they don't catch it, if they're not ready, it's not a problem. But you're not going to throw it to them again.
You certainly are. Now, Bernie, you talk about getting the ball out quickly. How big of an impact does that have? You know, Brandon Whedon was at 3.1 seconds per attempt in the first 2 weeks of the season. Brian Hoyer just 2.4 against the Minnesota Vikings. That's basically asking the offensive line to block about 25% less time than they had to initially. How important is that for an overall rhythm of an offense and just getting the ball moving?
Well, being a statistics guy, I'm right into those numbers like that, Nathan. You know, that 3.1 to 2.4, 0.7 seconds, you know, that's, you know, a little less than 25%, like you point out. You're exactly right. It's incredibly imperative. Yeah, the offensive line, that's one thing. And as we talked about, you know, on the air and off the air, 11 sacks in the first two games, 28 hits, 16 week one, I think 12 in week two, three sacks this past Sunday. You could just see from a sack standpoint the difference that makes. But what it really also helps is the ability down the field. Now, if you believe in your quarterback and your receivers, and your quarterback believes in his receivers, letting that 18-yard ball go, letting that 15, that 25-yard throw go, the first touchdown of Josh Gordon, five-step drop, hit your fifth step. Minnesota Vikings and that defense, they tend to squat on out routes when you cross the 50-yard line like that. To hit your fifth step, to act like it's going to be thrown, and then to run right past them, get a guy open like 5 yards, it allows you to throw balls deeper down the field with a sense of timing before the DBs could close on you, before the safety could get over the top on a deep throw, before the corner could close on a seam type throw. That also, that 5 tenths, 6 tenths, 7 tenths of a second also buys you that time. The DBs don't react and can't close on those deeper throws.
And Bernie, and we're visiting with Bernie Kosar, making his regular appearance here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. Bern, when you think about the coaching aspect of this, knowing that you've got a guy who can do these things, who that is the forte of Brian Hoyer right now, more so probably than any sort of physical prowess, although that has to come into play as well, how he drifts and moves in the pocket. That has to influence how your game plan is put together, right? How North Turner calls plays. Get into some of that and how it affects the coaching.
Yeah, and it affects the coaching in a phenomenal way, because their confidence that it exudes and the ability to know you could make these calls and get the ball out and not only have a higher chance of success with the given play, you equally have as much of a lower risk of a negative play or a loss of yards type play. So it increases your percentages of success while simultaneously decreasing your percentages of risk or failure of a negative play, that makes coaches really want to kind of pull the trigger more, pull it more. And when you're playing a team like the Bengals, who have a lot of really good young talent, they play an aggressive type of defense with Coach Zimmer, you know you're going to get press coverage. You know you're going to get some blitzing. You know you're going to get that safety down in the box. You're going to have an opportunity as quarterback and receiver to go up against DBs in press coverage and or in man coverage, and you know you're going to get that. And you could all week now really start thinking, look at, I'm getting excited talking about it. You could really start thinking about those big plays. You could visualize them from a coaching standpoint and definitely from a player standpoint.
And you talk about big plays, it helps to have a big play wide receiver. Josh Gordon made his return, 10 catches, 146 yards, touchdown as well. What kind of an impact did he have on this game, and man, was it missing from this offense?
Well, it's obvious the impact was fantastic, but, you know, all three of us have talked ad nauseum about how amazing he's looked in training camp, and then it didn't transfer onto the field in those four preseason games. Obviously, we've all talked about the two-game suspension, but it didn't translate. So kind of the excitement that we had from a fan perspective or a listener perspective, they maybe didn't get the opportunity to see it like we did. So we weren't really – it showed, one, we're not just being an apologist for Josh Gordon, that he really does have those amazing, amazing physical gifts. And to see him now transfer it from the practice field to the real field, to the game field, and then to do it in a real game, not a preseason game. And that actually helped get the last touchdown to Jordan Cameron. Josh Gordon was such a factor in the game that they were playing man coverage. We did a trip set to the right. The weak safety in a man-free coverage has to now cheat to the three-receiver side, especially if one of those receivers to the three-receiver side is Josh Gordon. So all the attention is from the middle of the field to the right side of the quarterback and towards Josh Gordon. That left Jordan Cameron in tight with the whole middle of the field to the whole left sideline free on a strong safety that had man coverage who's 5 or 6 inches shorter than him. I mean, those are the type of matchups that players, coaches, you know, look for. The NFL with this matchup scenario like that, now you really put the defense in a bind. You have a quarterback who's going to make those right reads to get it off on time, and you notice on that throw that Jordan was the only one that could come down with that, but he had that space, and we had that opportunity by the whole game going the way it did. And you put the weak safety in a bind, and you put the man cover guy in a bind by the matchups that good play happens from your quarterback throwing on time and from Josh Gordon making plays like he did.
Bernie, from an offensive perspective, and again, unfortunately for you during your career, you met up with guys who would come off the edge with speed and incredible talent to put you on the ground and put you down there pretty hard or hit you pretty hard. When you see Barkevious Mingo, where do you – I know it's only two games, but, man, that flash that we're seeing right now looks like it could be something special, and there are elements and traits and qualities. Nathan Zegura was mentioning it earlier that, you know, watching that special last night on Derek Thomas on A Football Life, that, you know, we're not saying he's that guy and we're not putting him in Canton yet, but there's just some things that a guy can show that's rare, and you usually can see that pretty early on, especially in defensive players.
Well, athleticism is athleticism, and it sounds so simplistic or cliche-ish, but it is, and he's showing it. He has it, and he's not just showing it, he has it. And that speed that he has, I mean, I know exactly what I would have to do against him. And you're right, let's not put him up for sainthood or Canton just yet. But to each game now, being out like he did too, I mean, he's got to have some demons in his head about the injury and the peculiarness of it. So he didn't get a lot of practice. He can't be in the best shape he could have been in with playing time. He's still just a raw young rookie. But all that being said, to get sacks in his first couple games and to show that pressure, there's no doubt when he's in the game that when he's it'll be rare slash I would be surprised if he ever gets a steady diet of just one guy blocking him, because those speed guys like that who have a good inside move off of that tend to get help with a back chipping him to make sure that the defensive lineman like Amingo doesn't get a fast release up the field, so the offensive tackle could has outside help to chip him, whether it's a back or a tight end. He'll definitely already – that'll definitely come up in preparation from the Bengals' perspective, absolutely.
Sure, and with that knee injury to Jabal Sheard, going to see a lot of Barkevious Mingo on Sunday. Bernie, thank you so much, my friend, and we'll catch up with you again after, hopefully, after another Browns victory.
I'll be up in Cleveland for the week. See you on the weekend.
Beautiful.
All right, sounds good, Bernie.
The one and only Bernie Kosar joins us here regularly on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are going to get into more of your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Want your tweets at Browns_daily. You're going to still hear from Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal about 2:15. He'll be with us. 2:30, we're going to bring aboard Gerard Cherry, get his thoughts, and lots to talk about. You're going to hear more from Brian Hoyer, sound from him, sound from Rob Chudzinski, the head coach of the Browns, from today's news conferences. All of that ahead on ESPN 850 WKNR.